If not, we're going to be reading in the 11th chapter of Romans. We heard a man, we were joking at work, and a man was, he don't particularly care for the new elected president, and he was saying something there at the house with his wife, and his wife told him, she says, well, you're going to have to get over it. Because he's our president for the next 4 years. And I said, yeah, my wife probably, I said, since certain things have happened, I said, my wife probably wish I'd quit talking to the television. And he just thought that was so funny because, you know, a lot of times when we watch the news, not, I say we, but me anyway, and others, this was something that, I was true with him and this other fellow that was listening. They all laughed. One guy says, yeah, I do a lot of talking to that TV. And I said all of that to say that sometimes we voice our opinions and we want to be heard. And I found myself doing that this week, listening to the radio. And the book that we have that we call Holy is the Bible, and it has many many teachings in it, and some of it is to be applied to us in the physical as well as the spiritual, and that's why there is so much confusion there. I'm thankful that when God spoke to Abraham and He spoke about his descendants being as the sand in the sea and the stars in the sky, that He was speaking about me and you. And that each and every one of us is believers in Jesus Christ. And we can take part in that multitude, as it were. We are part of the descendants. This is something that some people don't like to think about. I know that within our country, within certain periods in time, that there was a lot of people that considered themselves a part of the Christian movement that had a real dislike for the Jews because of what the Jews had done to Jesus Christ. But you know, if we're going to heaven, it's because that we've been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. And we owe a lot to the Jewish nation, as it were. You say, well, Darrell, no, God brought it all about. But there was a particular point in time where there was Israel and there was the rest of the world. There was the special relationship that Jesus, or that God the Father, with His Son had with a nation. And that if we were not part of that nation, we were left outside of it. And I'm thankful that as today, through Jesus Christ, that we can have a special relationship with the Father. And if we're outside of that family, though this is now speaking not in national terms as it is, speaking about a heritage and the family of God. If we're outside of that family, well, then we have no part with God. And you know, you would read the promises in the Old Testament, and so many of them are promises in the spiritual. And then so many of them were promises, for instance, in the physical. I truly believe that when God was speaking to Abraham, and he spoke to David as well, that so many of these promises was the fulfilling of when Jesus Christ come and the children, as it were, that would be saved underneath and through and by Him. Whether they would be Jew or Gentile, it did not matter. But then there was promises that were in the physical, that we're not speaking about the spiritual. And in one particular instance, when it starts laying out the boundaries of a kingdom, that this was a physical kingdom that the Lord had promised His children. But anyhow, we was listening on the radio, and there's a man, and there's a lot of people, and this is not something that he talks about very often, but if you would have him expound on it, it is really perplexing in his ideals that there is a movement within the Christian church that that all this turmoil that's going on over there with Israel and with the Palestinians, as this man stated, was because of a misunderstanding of the Bible, and that God has not promised the nation Israel anything And the proper term of that is what some would call a replacement of theology, that all the promises that was made to Israel is promises that are brought about to us as the church, that that God first dealt with the nation of Israel, and then through Jesus Christ all these promises are going to be fulfilled by the church, and that the promises that was made to Israel that the church can claim in the Old Testament because that we now are Israel, in other words, the church is. And you know, I will have to say in a lot of instances, just as we mentioned, that with Abraham and his descendants, that he was not only talking about his physical descendants, as it were, through the lineage, that if I was a Jew, I could stand and say that my father was so-and-so, and his father was so-and-so, and we could trace it physically all the way back, if it were possible, and we had knowledge to Abraham. But I myself, I don't know past the fourth generation who my parents are, but one thing I do know is that I was not born as in the physical as a Jew, but we preached messages before that we could search out, and I would encourage anybody to do this, to search out, as it were, our family tree in the spiritual, that we could look and see who was the gospel shared to us, and who brought it about, and whose preaching was we saved under, and we could, as it were, draw a spiritual tree, and if we were all able to do that and have the knowledge, we could trace it all the way back to Jesus Christ, and then we could go from Jesus all the way back to Abraham. But I believe that the Lord, when He makes a promise that He's going to bring about, I find it rather fascinating that there are some people that say God is going to wink at sin because I'm His child, but on the other hand would say that God is forsaken Israel, never more to care for it, because God, when He makes a promise, He brings it about. Now we must understand that in these promises, so many times they are circumstantial, that He will give us this if we do that, and so is the workings of God. But I think that it would do us well if anybody would think that the nation of Israel is no longer, as it were, the apple of God's eye, that we just need to get in God's Word, and we can read. And we first thought we weren't going to preach on this, but then we felt the leadership of the Lord. We can go and walk through, as it were, the Old Testament, and we can see where God is speaking in the spiritual as well as the physical. But we're going to read in Romans, in the 11th chapter, speaking about the parable of the olive tree. You can read in the 16th verse of the 11th chapter of Romans, if you would with me. It says, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boasteth not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Now let us understand that Paul here is speaking to the Gentiles, to the Romans. It says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, speaking about Israel, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and
severity of God on them which fail. A severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in this goodness, otherwise thou shalt also, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut off, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, and He's going to plant His feet in Washington, D.C. No, that's not what the Bible says. He's going to come back and He's going to plant His feet there in New York City, the headquarters of the UN. No, the Bible doesn't say that either. But the Bible says that He's going to come back and He's going to set down His feet on the Mount of Olives. I'm glad that we serve a God that is not just in the Spirit. The Bible says that we serve a God who is a Spirit, and that we must worship Him in Spirit and truth. That as we worship Him, we worship Him in the physical. That when I bow my knees and I pray a spiritual prayer, I am praying in the physical. I am physically bending these fleshly knees that the Lord has given me and praying. And that the God above, literally thousands and thousands of miles away, wherever Jesus Christ went to go to prepare a place, hears me. But yet my God is not bound by the physical. That because He is a Spirit, He is not bound. But yet we know that for whatever reason, God holds it dear, these physical things that He has created and the promises that He made. And we can see it throughout all of Scripture, how there is a significance to the physical attributes that He has given to His people. And I am thankful because of this, that the Lord has not only promised to feed me a spiritual manna, but He will feed us that physical food as well. This is the beauty of it. God is not either one nor another, but because He is a Spirit, He has not got limitations like me and you. But that which He fulfills in the spiritual, and so many of His promises, He's going to fulfill in the physical. That's why I'm glad what the Bible speaks about. The Bible said that through Adam, all man sinned, but yet the second Adam, God brought about through Jesus Christ the ability that all of us might live, that there is a natural body and that there is a physical and a spiritual body, and that in Christ Jesus first come the natural body, but through the death, burial, and resurrection of Him, the spiritual body, and that He is that first fruit, the glory of God, and that each and every one of us have a promise of the same, that He is going to raise us with the physical resurrection, and though my body will not be the same as it were a grain of a weed, it must first die and be placed in the ground, and it comes forth and it is much more than a grain of weed, but it is a living being that is green and groweth up and shadoweth the ground. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that is able not only to touch us in the spiritual, but provide for us in the physical? This is something that there are those those that are so carnally minded. All they can think about is the physical and the say that the Lord has not prospered me unless he has prospered me in the physical. But each and every one of us knows, though a man might be poor and have not money in his pocket, the Bible teaches me he's rich. Why? Because he is an heir and joint heir unto Jesus Christ. But I speak not just simply of the spiritual, bless your heart, but that he's going to bring about these things supernaturally in the physical, in the life to come. I can look and say these promises that the Lord has made, I know I might not see them with these physical eyes in this present life. I have a promise of seeing him in the life to come. And each and every one of us can rejoice in that. A many time we spoke about, you would want to turn there of what it says in 1 Corinthians about, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And that death is an enemy to all Christians. It's not an enemy in which we have to fear per se as one that is unprepared to meet God, but it is through the fall of man that death came about for us to comprehend what we have in store. We just have to look back to the first chapter, as it were, of Genesis, where the Lord had created a paradise for Adam and Eve. He created them with a perfect physical body, and he gave them all that was in the garden for their enjoyment, and all they had to do was obey him. I'm thankful that as the Bible says, that we were grafted in that which was wild by nature. I can remember many a message that was preached by my grandfather and others that spoke about that we needed not to boast, that if the Lord that would cut off that which was natural and graft us in which was wild by nature, that how much more, how much sooner, as it were, would he cut us off and put that back which was natural. And I never thought or had any other comprehension than the hearing one to say that the Lord has blinded them until the fullness of the Gentiles would come in. You know, it's not necessarily important about boundaries of a country, but the Bible tells me that he's going to bring them down together again. You know, we might have a Jew living next to us that we can witness to, but we see where there is a mass, as it were, exodus since back in 1942, where God's people are going back, for whatever reason we might say, back to a piece of land in the physical. Why? Because I believe there's a yearning in their heart that they feel, as it were, a tugging from God Almighty. Although they would reject His Son, that they feel a tie to that piece of ground. And why is that? Because the God of gods, the Lord of lords, spoke to one of their descendants so long ago and said, "Ye shall be my child, and I am going to raise up a nation unto you." And so they go, and though they might be blinded, as it were, because the Lord has reached out to me anew, it's for just a portion of time. The Bible teaches me that he's not finished with them yet. Just like the man that's 80 years old, lived his whole life for the Lord, and thinks that his time has come, the Lord is not finished for them yet, but that he's going to bring about in the resurrection a glorious time where we can worship the Lord
for all eternity in the presence of him. Just as so many Christians, as it were, that are so carnally minded when they read the promises of God, that they think in the physical. There are those that I think, due to unbelief, that everything that they read in the Bible, they think that it is. There's nothing there in the literal, but that it is just in the spiritual sense, all the way down to the second coming of Christ, that the Lord Christ Jesus has already come, and He's raised up a spiritual kingdom, and that which is spoken about in Revelations has already took place in the spiritual. Well, I'm thankful that I am part of that spiritual kingdom, but the Bible teaches me that for whatever reason, that my God wants to bring about His promises, not only in the spiritual, but as well as the physical. So what does that say to me and you today? When we read His promises, and so many of those things that we may not ever be able to see in the physical, it's not to say that they will not come to pass in the physical, but just not in this life, but in the life to come. Now, some of these promises that the Lord has given us is truly speaking of those things in the spiritual. But I don't want any one of us to think that the Lord would supply for us spiritually and would neglect us physically. You know, there is a lot of people, they call it the naming and claiming. The naming and claiming gospel, or the blab it and grab it, speaking about all you have to do is speak the words and the Lord will give you exactly what you need. He'll bless you with abundant riches. But this is not what I'm speaking about. But if the Lord has supplied for us in the spiritual, and there's anything that we lack in the physical, we can come to the same God that we would pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me overcome this spiritual warfare that I'm having. And we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me in the physical. And He will. But yet still then, there's been Christians that have, for whatever reason, because of the generation that they were born to, that they did, or maybe the country that they're born in, even in this very hour, that they were never able to experience the fullness of bread and the physical. Though the Lord had blessed them in the spiritual, that they were always wanting. And they'd come and they brought it to the Lord. They took, as it were, they took it to the Lord. There were some Christians in the past in Europe and elsewhere that were thrown into prison. That they were fed nothing but bread and water, and sometimes not even that. Well, the Bible says that David was young and now he's old, never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. That's a promise. I truly believe a spiritual promise. That if we claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that if we eat at His table, as it were in the spiritual, and that our children will have access to that spiritual food. And in their generation, I guess it'll be, they will have to decide whether they would want to sit at His table. But I'm thankful that it is not just limited to the spiritual, but it is a promise in the physical as well. And though I don't know at what death that Daryl will die, I cannot see the future. Might die tomorrow of a massive heart attack. But one thing I know is that whether I would die a sudden death of a massive heart attack or locked up in prison, slowly being starved to death, that in those moments there in that prison, as I would pray, Lord, give me bread. That though I might be deprived of it in the physical to the point of death. The Bible teaches me that there is a supper coming, and that we'll not just simply eat of a spiritual food, as it were, but it will be enjoyed by our physical bodies. The resurrection is a physical resurrection. And that, regardless of what troubles I might be having, the Lord not only watches over my family and the spiritual, if I turn them over to Him and pray, not only will the Lord protect them from the evil forces and the evil influences out there, but He'll also protect them in the spiritual. We was coming to church this morning, and we were thinking about not this particular incident, but we were thinking about Laura's baby. That God looks down and He sees us all, and she's already testified to the fact that Leah fell out of the high chair, and we could have all been at the hospital, just like a man at work is. His wife had a stroke, a massive stroke, and they, I think she was at a ball game, and she passed out. They drilled a hole in her head to relieve the pressure because her stroke was so severe that it was building up pressure in her mind. And just like we've heard of other head traumas where a child would fall, we could be at the hospital and we could be praying to a spiritual God, Lord, have your will. The doctors could have skillfully drilled a small hole in the skull of a child or an adult to bleed off the pressure. And miraculously, through all of that, the child would regain its senses and be normal. But God did not do that, did He? He protected that child. One could say not near as great of a miracle. Wouldn't that be a great miracle if somebody had such an awful car wreck or whatever, that their brain was so swelling that they had to cut the top of their head off? That's what they do a lot of times. They just remove the skull and let the brain go down. And that He could, that a person such as that could regain their senses enough to stand and testify to the Lord. One would say that is a great miracle, but is it any greater miracle? And then to have an accident, as it were, to fall from a high chair. I believe they used to go, I don't know if they're still even alive, but they used to go to Thomas Chapel. There was a man and his wife, and their child fell from a high chair, a little boy, and he died. You know, when we take for granted all the many blessings of God in the physical. We were coming to church. It was about, 9:30. And this big milk truck was driving down the road and down our dirt road. And he was way over on our side, and I guess it scared my wife a little bit. I knew he'd probably already been driving for 8 or more hours because they get up real early. And he seen us in time and he got over to the side. And then we come a little bit further. My wife said, my goodness, she said, that ought to send me a labor or something like that, you know. And we could have been just like that, just snuffed out. We went down the road a little bit further and this was a straight truck. We come upon a milk truck that was a semi. And he was riding right on that, I come through a curve and he was over on our side. And we don't even begin to understand how the Lord protects us in the physical. And we sometimes see so many people speak about those things in the spiritual and what the Lord has done for us and what He can do for us. But I am thankful that the Lord has made us promises, and not only to be fulfilled, as it were, supernaturally in the life to come, but in this present life. I'm thankful that the Lord, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes, that He is going to fulfill His promises to the nation of Israel, of the Jewish people, And isn't it just befitting? I think it really speaks of the time that we're in. That there are those that would consider themselves Christian that are saying that Israel doesn't need to be a nation. That these promises in the Bible are promises made to the church, not made to the Jewish people per se. Does that not speak of the days that we live in? Does it not speak of the fact that things are setting up or very well could be possible to bring about those things that we read about in Daniel and Revelations? And I don't know. I'm no prophet, and I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know at what point, whether Daryl would be able to be as those that are standing. Because I think it's in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter where it speaks about those that will raise from the grave and that they'll be given, as it were, a resurrected body. And then there will be those on this earth that will be given a new body. And I don't know what number of the two that I'll be in, but I want to be in one of those two groups. I don't know, when I look at my children, I wonder, will they be a part of those that are changed and have a new body if they're Christians when the Lord comes back? But we do see where the nations of this world truly have a hatred for God's people. And you know, our father mentioned that, and I'm just bewildered at the fact that they would go on and on about the collateral damage. And you know, it's not been that long. I mean, it is when you consider the lives of men. But when you talk about the histories of nations, it's not been that long since England, the Allied forces, the Axis, which was Germany, Italy, and Japan, that we carpet-bombed each other. We didn't hit military installations, but we carpet-bombed cities. And because these wicked men that have believed a false doctrine, a doctrine of devils full of hatred toward God's people, would choose to fight behind their women and children, there is no one even questioning their tactics and to say, what kind of men would hide behind children and shoot missiles from a schoolyard? But instead, all they say is, look at all these casualties. And I'm really amazed at how few, when you consider the tactics that they are using, how few civilians have been hurt. And so it is with a war where men do not wear uniforms. And because if you don't wear a uniform, you are a combatant if you have a gun. But here's the nice thing about it. And this is what makes terrorism so appealing to those that lack morality and the courage to fight as men. And when they are slain, they are no longer a combatant. When their compatriots walk through there and pick up their gun, those soldiers now are citizens. These soldiers are civilians. And you can take the pictures of all these supposedly innocent people, but God sees them all. And though it would break our hearts to hear about these children over there that are having to lose their life, and it's due to the decisions of their parents, the decisions of those that have been placed over them and their government. One thing is nice to know, that God is embracing those children in glory. And that each and every one of us, that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ Jesus if we are one of His. And though the world would say, shame on you for doing all that they do, it truly speaks of the mindset, and that there is almost, as it were, a demonic force at place with the nations of this world. against God's people. And then some would say, oh, they are not God's people. Well, it truly is bizarre, is it not? That they are treated in such a way, truly seems as if they are not, as it were, a special people that the Lord is going to turn back to, then why is it that Satan and his foes seem to hate them so? If you want a blessing, if you're having trouble praying through, it seems as if your prayer life is mediocre, I would encourage you to pray for Israel and the Jewish people. Not that the Lord would protect their boundaries. Not that the Lord would keep terrorists from blowing them up in the street. But you pray for the salvation of the Jews. And there's a blessing to be had. And I'm thankful that God's kingdom is not a kingdom that is limited by physical boundaries. But I'm also glad to know that every promise that He has made, that He will bring about. And because He has turned to one, He has not forgotten the other. And to read Isaiah and Ezekiel, and even to the point where God is, as it were, has washed His hands from them. He cannot. The prophet of the Lord cannot, as it were, speak these prophecies without crying for repentance. Even to the point where God says, they'll not hear you. They're a stiff-necked people. And the prophet prophesies all the judgment that's going to take place. He speaks of the Savior, Jesus Christ. When it is so dark and dismal that there is no hope for that generation, God the Father still speaks of the hope to come for all men, Jews as well as Gentiles. Let's get some song to sing. This is an unusual message, but I would want everybody to know that when we are having troubles here in the present, that we serve a God that wants to not only heal our spiritual wounds, but our physical ones as well. Though all of His promises might not be fulfilled, as it were, in my life, those promises that He has made to His children, I know that there are those promises that will not be fulfilled until the life to come. But that is not a life in which we'll be floating around, as it were, spirits, not with the full facilities of our physical body, but that it will be all the more greater. That we can, as it were, walk in the garden with God Himself, as Adam and Eve did, and to feel that closeness with an Almighty God, and to look into the face of our Savior who died for us and provided for us all that we need here in this present world. Promises found in God's Word. Well, I'm not here to tell you you need to name it and claim it, as it were, because there are those that are telling of the world today that very thing, and yet they stand outside the fold of God. If we're not having our spiritual or physical needs being met, we need to look at where we are standing. Can we position ourselves, as it were, in a place of blessing? You know, when we are living outside of the will of God, we need not to expect His abundant blessings. And sometimes, you know, it's just as those seeds that fell on stony ground. You know, this is a parable. But I'm thankful that each and every one of us, as we fall to this earth, and if we are struggling, as it were, because of the stony ground in which we are on, that that's just, as it were, a parable. Speaking about the Word of God, but yet I speak now about that seed that falleth to the ground, and that it first must die. And if it would seem as if we're struggling, we need to look at our surroundings. Have we positioned ourselves to receive the blessings of God? Or are we in a place that because of our not necessarily our disobedience, but because of our ignorance and unconcern for the things of God, that we find ourselves in a position that we cannot grow in the Lord. There's a cliff, a bluff over at our house, and there's a ledge up there. And I could scatter seed on that ground. It's nothing but dirt. And there's a big old rocky outcropping over it. And the dirt underneath it seems to be very very fertile. It's got a real dark color to it, but there's nothing that grows there. You know why? Well, it's on a bluff with trees, and it's that rock outcropping goes over it. There's no way, though I could take the best hybrid seeds or heirloom seeds, wouldn't matter what kind of seed I put there, it's not going to grow because the sun can't reach it. If we have placed ourselves in a position through our decisions that we seem to be struggling, we need to step back and look as Paul did, or not Paul, but Peter, when he was out there fishing. Do you remember when he was fishing in the ship after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and the disciples asked him, "What are you going to do?" And he says, "I go fishing," and they fished all night and they caught nothing. Why was that? Well, it's obviously not the first time they've done that. We even have an account in the Bible where they've done that before. But I truly believe that if Peter would have refused to do the will of God, that his days as a fisherman were going to be hard days. And it wouldn't be his last night of fishing all night and not receiving anything. But he had positioned himself out there in that boat. He was outside of the will of God. The Lord hadn't called him to be a fisherman, but he called him to be a fisherman of men. And he communicated to him that the Lord, I think that's what the Lord was saying to all the disciples. I'll give you all that you need. It's right here on the shore. You don't need to go out there in the ocean and find it. It's right here on the shore. But what you need to do is love me. And if you love me, I'll take care of you. And I think that is true of us all today. Sometimes we just need to look around us and see where we stand.